Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, my favorite Bible story as a kid is the one we read today. It was David and Goliath. And what's not exciting for a young kid to hear in David and Goliath, this kid taking on a huge giant and throwing a stone at him and bringing him down and winning the victory? It captured the imagination. But that isn't all there is to this story. And we'd like to take some time today to remind ourselves that this story is really a picture of something even bigger, of a David who was even more important, and a victory that was even more central to the salvation of the world than the bringing down of a 9-foot giant. So join me today as we take a look on this day, this first Sunday in Lent, a day that has sometimes been called the Festival of Jesus' Active Obedience, at seeing how Jesus' obedience has a parallel in the destruction of the 9-foot-tall giant Goliath. I'd like you to think about three things today. Here's the first one. We are going to be saying, fight, David, fight. First of all, fight the battle as one of us. We did not read the entire section earlier leading up to the downfall of the giant. But just a reminder here that the people of Israel were fighting against the Philistines, their perennial enemies to the west along the seacoast of the Mediterranean there. And now the armies of Israel and the armies of Philistia are facing against one another at the Valley of Elah, which is almost straight west of modern-day Jerusalem, about midway toward the coast. And instead of fighting each other, they're standing there. And they're listening as day after day, this champion of Philistia, this huge man by the name of Goliath, probably a descendant of Anak, and one of those that apparently was a mighty man. And by this account, 9.5 feet tall, hugely strong too. He wasn't deformed in his height. This was a man who was extremely strong. He carried 125 pounds worth of armor on him. He had a spear with a head that weighed 15 pounds all by itself. He was an experienced fighter, a champion, and he stood there for 40 days. Kind of interesting. 40 days he stood before the armies of Israel and said to them, I challenge you. Instead of our armies fighting, how about you bring forth one of your champions to fight me? If he beats me, we become your slaves. If I beat him, you become our slaves. And then he brought curses down upon them and mocked the God of Israel. And what did the Israelites do? They quivered in their boots. They didn't know what to do, including their mighty king, Saul. How do we fight somebody like him? Well, you recall that Jesse, the man from Bethlehem with all the sons, had sent his youngest son, David, to go and see how things were going and to bring food to his brothers who were fighting. And wasn't it interesting that David was the one who said, why isn't somebody doing something about this? Already with those words, we see a different spirit in David, the son of Jesse, the one who had been anointed to be the future king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. I don't think his brothers fully understood what that meant. He was just a kid. He was a keeper of sheep. But here he was keeping his eye on that giant and saying, somebody should do something, and even saying, I will do something. It's a reminder that first of all, the champion of Israel would come as an Israelite, from the Israelites. It's a reminder to us, too, of a different picture. You see, all of this is really a bit of a metaphor for what is going to becoming true later when Jesus himself comes into the world. Because, you see, Jesus also came as one of his people, not somebody from the outside. In fact, one of the things we see the evangelist Luke speaking about is that before this account, Jesus comes into our baptism. He walks into the Jordan River as one of us to fulfill all righteousness in our place. And then we find Luke recording the genealogy, going all the way back to the time of Adam, of Jesus Christ. He came as God, but not only as God. He came truly as a human being, as our brother, as our champion. How pleased we are that Jesus came to fight our war for us. But that leads us to a second thought that we see here. When we think of the thought, David fight this battle better than any one of us. Again, what a difference it made that David came on the scene. While everyone else was quivering, here's this young man saying, somebody should do something about this, and then saying, I can do something about this. I'll defeat this pagan Philistine. He went to talk to the king, King Saul. And Saul knew this man because this young man had also been a player of the harp to comfort him when demons would sometimes possess him and bring him down. David said, I will fight him. Saul said, you can't fight him. This man is an experienced warrior. You're just a lad, a keeper of sheep. But David said something that was very powerful to Saul. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. He recalled times when as a shepherd, he literally took these huge animals and killed them, maybe with his own sword or a knife or something. And then he said, this uncircumcised Philistine, who's got no relationship with God, will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who rescued me from the paw of the bear and the lion, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Do you see the difference that David had in his heart from so many others? He was a young man of courage, but his courage was rooted in the power of his God. No wonder he would be called a man after God's own heart. And it wasn't only what he said to King Saul before he went out to war. It was also what he said to the giant when the giant stood there and cursed the God of Israel and said to David, I'm going to take you and I'm going to feed you to the birds of the air this day. You don't stand a chance before me. Notice what David said. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. There were many soldiers that were fighting for the Israelites that day, but none of them had the champion heart of David. None of them had the faith in their God that David did. What a difference that made. There was a devotional writer, a very godly man by the name of Thomas A. Kempis, who wrote the book The Imitation of Christ, and he made the statement, do not weigh highly who may be for you or against you, but take thought and care that God will be with you in everything you do. Have a good conscience, and God will defend you well. That certainly was true for David. But it was also true for the other David, the David who would be the one to come, Jesus Christ. He too was a champion, but he didn't look like it. At this point today, we see him in the desert after 40 days of fasting, skinny as a rail, absolutely weak and helpless. He did not look like a champion, but he had the heart of the Son of God. Think of how skillfully Satan tried to attack him with his temptations for providence, like having bread in his hunger, or his temptation of glory the easy splendor of just bowing down to the devil, or the temptation for protection. Think of in an ungodly way testing his heavenly Father. All these were designed to drive a wedge between Jesus and his heavenly Father. But Jesus said no. He is a tricky one, that devil. Far trickier than that giant Goliath. We sang before, the old evil foe now means deadly woe, deep guile, deceit, and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal. No ordinary person can stand against the devil. It takes a champion. And that leads us to our third point here. Jesus, David, both are true. Now fight. Fight this battle for us. Well, you heard what happened with King David before he was known as King David. How he ran towards those battle lines armed with nothing more than just a shepherd's sling and a few rocks. And he took that sling and he hurled it. You've seen the pictures. And that rock sunk deep into the forehead of this giant, crushing his sinuses, bringing him to his knees and finally to the ground, where David would take the giant's own sword, lift it up, and cut off his head. And he won a champion that day. But it's interesting. While the victory belonged to David, and the glory belonged to David for that victory, the victory also belonged to all of Israel. They shared in his victory. They chased after those Philistines, and they brought them to their knees. Friends, that was a huge surprise to the people of Philistia. None of them expected that could ever have happened. I'm told that there was a certain archaeologist who found a sarcophagus there in the Negev of Israel, that southern area, and he took a look at the remains of the body left behind, and he went to one of the curators of a world-known ancient history museum, gave him and said, I think I have found the body of someone who is 3,000 years old and who died of a heart attack. The man examined, that curator did, this body, and a week later he came back astounded. He said, you're absolutely right. That body is 3,000 years old, and he truly did die of a heart attack. But how could you have known this? And the man who found the body said, well, I found a slip of paper in his hand that said $10,000 on the giant. Well, he never would have guessed that that could have happened. So it is that nobody can imagine that God can win the victory over our worst enemies. There were plenty who did not believe that Jesus could win the victory over us, over Satan and hell either. But he did. By letting David fight, the rest of the army was saying, we trust you to win the victory for us. We can't do it ourselves. How true it is also that as we stand before God, when we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, we are saying, I have no armor. I put my sword and my shield on the ground. Jesus, you have to do the fighting. And only then could I live. And what an amazing victory it was that Jesus would come and defeat his enemy, Satan, not only by standing firm against his temptations for 40 days in the desert, faithfully serving his God in a way that no human being could do, faithfully keeping his law perfectly, being absolutely righteous in our place, but then walking to Jerusalem, that lonely walk that only he himself could truly walk, where he bore our sins and carried our sorrows and laid down his life as the sacrifice for our sins. All the rest of us stand in awe, watching him give himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. But because he did that, his victory has become our victory. His death was for our sins. The suffering of hell was in our place so that we could receive the gift of eternal life in heaven. You and I are betting on the perfect substitution of Jesus Christ. And with that, friends, we can relax in complete confidence and the forgiveness of our sins. That's very much what the writer to the Hebrews was saying today. We heard him earlier reminding us, friends, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive grace and mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so we plead with both the first David and the second David, fight, David, fight. Fight as one of us. Fight the battle better than any of us and win the victory for all of us. With that assurance in mind, we can sing as we love to sing and as we did today, with might of ours can naught be done. Soon were our loss effected, but for us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. You ask, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, the Almighty Lord, and there's no other God. He holds the field forever. Fight, Jesus. Fight for us. Amen.